You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
The mood is right, the spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
From the depths of the sea, this is Transmissions from Atlantis, a sci-fi, fantasy, and horror podcast with a special emphasis on Doctor Who. Featuring the creators of Seekers of the Lost World, Rita and J.C. Delatorre.
Hello everybody, my name is J.C. Delatorre.
And I'm Rita Delatorre.
And this is Transmissions from Atlantis, episode 138.
138, man. A couple more and we're at 140 already.
Yep. We've been doing this a while, haven't we?
Yes, we have. All right, so we got an awesome and very long lineup for you guys today, because this is going to be our holiday show.
Yep, this is our Christmas episode where we're going to preview all of the Christmas movies for this year. And in addition to that, we also had the rare opportunity to see a sneak preview of a big movie that's coming out this year.
Yep.
So we'll tell you all about that. Of course, we have Rapid Fire, where we'll be talking about The Orville, Murder on the Orient Express, The Avengers Infinity War trailer, Lucifer, Frontier Season 2.
Coco, Fantastic Beasts. I mean, we have a lot of items for the Rapid Fire this time.
The Fantastic Beasts may be a little bit longer in Rapid Fire, just because...
There's a couple things to discuss.
Yeah, you have some thoughts on that whole Johnny Depp controversy.
I do.
And of course, we always have Doctor Who, and Doctor Who is right around the corner, so we're going to preview the Christmas episode, plus talk about the Children in Need teaser, and of course, the Christmas special trailer. So we'll talk all about that. Let's get started, right?
Yep.
Coming up next, Rapid Fire.
Fire. Fire. Alright, so starting off with Rapid Fire, we are going to talk The Orville. The last couple episodes have been really fantastic. Now, first off, the creepy episode.
Oh my gosh. So this episode was probably the worst episode you could probably have for Rita and I.
Because it had creepy demonic clowns and spiders. Yes. We're like, yay!
Yeah, those are our two major fears in life. Mine is a demonic clown.
And mine is definitely spiders.
And those were the two things they focused on.
And then they had giant spiders on top of that.
And clowns with evil, crazy, awful teeth that I didn't even look at.
Yeah, let's just say this episode gave us nightmares.
Yes, but it was still an amazing episode. It was well thought out, well written, as every episode of The Orville has been so far.
The season finale of The Orville was also an amazing episode.
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, of course, Doctor Who did the two-dimensional thing first, but I think The Orville might have done it a little bit better.
Yes, I agree. And the fact that they even entered the two-dimensional world and they showed it to you, I mean, visually, that was beautiful.
And of course, what was also funny was there was a Doctor Who reference even in the episode.
Yes! Yes, the captain of the Orville was talking about things being bigger on the inside, like in Doctor Who, and yeah. I'm like, they made a Doctor Who reference. That's awesome.
Yep. And that's one of the things I really like about the Orville is, even though it is the fancy future of the world, you know, kind of thing, it still has a connection to Earth's past. It's not like Star Trek where it's almost like the 20th century Earth never existed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They still have references back to, you know, the olden times, and you know, the captain likes old music, and of course they're watching like Christmas movies and stuff. So it's like I really do enjoy that kind of aspect of the Orville a little bit better than Star Trek, is that they still haven't forgotten their Earth history.
Yeah, like I remember the one episode where they were showing the one dude, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Exactly, yeah. All right, so overall, The Orville was an amazing series. It's already been renewed for another season. Yay!
Yep, and I'm not going to say it's better than Discovery, because we've only watched two episodes of Discovery, so that's unfair to Discovery. But what I will say is that from what we've seen of The Orville, this was the best Star Trek series we've seen in a long time. Even better than Enterprise, better than, well, it was right there with Deep Space Nine. I thought it was better than Voyager.
Yes, I agree. I'll agree with you there.
So yeah, this is the best Star Trek series we've seen in a long time, and we'll have to see. I think Discovery's in its mid-season break or something, so we'll have to see. We'll have to catch up on Discovery to really get a good comparison between the two.
Agreed. All right, so let's move on. Murder on the Orient Express. We have a confession to make. Jason and I have never really read any Agatha Christie books.
Correct.
Including this one. So my mother knew what was going to happen, of course, because she's read just about everything Agatha Christie ever wrote. But Jason and I were in the dark, which was great, because we didn't know what was coming. And to me, it was a twist ending.
We haven't watched the Poirot series either, the one that's done by... I think it's British Television. Is it BBC or ITV or one of them? So we haven't actually had the opportunity to watch that either. So like Rita said, we had no idea what the twist ending was going to be. And when it happened, it blew our mind.
Yeah, I mean, the film was so well done. And all of the actors were fantastic in it, and especially Michelle Pfeiffer.
And Kenneth Branagh was just absolutely amazing as Poirot.
Even though my mom didn't like him just because he didn't look the part.
He didn't look the part, but still, I thought he was fantastic.
I did too. Definitely watch it if you haven't gotten a chance.
Rating on it?
Rating on it, I'd give it a 10.
I'd give it a 9. Not that I didn't like anything about it. I mean, I thought the movie was very entertaining. I'm just going by your mom's assessment of his look. You know, so I'm not going to give it a full 10, but I thought it was a very enjoyable movie. I liked it a lot.
Cool. All right, well, moving on, let's talk about the Avengers Infinity War trailer. Squee! It has everybody in it. I mean, everybody.
Even the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Even
the Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh, my gosh.
It's kind of like, who did they leave out? Because I don't think they've left anybody out.
Well, the interesting thing is... Disney's trying to acquire Fox's movie rights, so they might have the X-Men in the next Avengers movie.
That would be cool.
Yeah, and Deadpool too, right?
There was a lot to take in the trailer, but from what we did see, this is going to be extremely epic.
It's going to be extremely epic, and there's going to be some heroes that aren't going to make it out of this.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what happened in Infinity War in the comic books. In fact,
if I remember correctly, Mr. Captain America himself should not be making it.
Well, we don't know if that's the way they're going to follow it in the movie. But
that's the way it happened in the comic.
Yeah, and I think they want to do away with Iron Man, too. So Iron Man may actually be going instead of Captain America in this one.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this goes.
Although, you're right, though, because I think... And of course, the comic book geeks are going to all be like, "You got it wrong, you idiot! You don't know what you're talking about." But I'm not sure. But is this the place where Captain America dies and Bucky Brooks takes over as Captain America?
I think that's the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm going to be looking forward to this because, you know, Disney's plan for Marvel has been working very well. You know, they've got this formula down. Unlike, you know, the folks doing the DC. And they haven't done anything overly wrong yet. I mean, everything keeps picking up momentum.
Yep. All right, moving on. Let's talk Lucifer.
Lucifer. All right, so we've been catching up on the latest season of Lucifer, and so far I've not been very impressed with it. I felt this season has been lacking of the supernatural.
Well, I mean, when you have the mother of the angels, you know, and the wife of God, you know, that's kind of a hard act to follow up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, this season started off strong with him losing his devil face and gaining his wings, but then we're now back to the whole, you know, what's her name still doesn't know the truth. I'm like, okay, but just because you lose your devil face, you can still show her your wings,
right? Yeah, and not only that, there's something. It's gone back to just the murder of the week, which, you know, at the core, that is what Lucifer is. It's kind of CSI, kind of Bones type of show where they're solving the murder of the week. But
yeah, but they've toned down so much on the supernatural that this season's been a little bit more boring.
Yeah, and, you know, for people that love the crime stuff, the murder of the week kind of stuff, the people that are all watching CSI and Bones and those kind of shows, they watch Lucifer for that aspect of the show and tolerate the supernatural part of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're the opposite. We watch it for the supernatural part of it and tolerate the CSI stuff.
Even though I do enjoy the CSI stuff in this show, but mm-hmm. they need to punch up the supernatural a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they've really toned it down a little too much.
Yep, Jason Momoa, the Aquaman, season 2 of his show Frontier on Netflix, and it's still great. I love the show.
I like the short seasons. I like that it's only like 6 episodes long.
I don't like that. I'd rather see it at least be 10.
Yeah, I can see that, but I still really like the show and I like the flow of the story.
Yep, and it's interesting because the show kind of reminds me of
Taboo.
Yeah, that show that was, I think, on TNT or whatever.
Well, because it takes place around the same time, and yeah. It actually, if you think about it, it's also relates to the same type of thing. It's all about the fur trade.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because the guy in Taboo is trying to get the licenses for a certain location, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then in Frontier, it's kind of, they're already there in America, and they're just kind of competing for the fur trade.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really an amazing show.
And it sounds boring, yeah, I know, but there's a lot of death and a lot of sex. And
there's actually a lot of gore, too.
And a lot of gore. So, I mean, it's not boring.
No.
It's actually really, really entertaining.
It is. All right. So, let's move on. We did see Coco. In my case, I saw it twice.
Yep.
We also saw the Frozen short at the front of the film.
Let's talk the Frozen short first.
All right, so a lot of people were miffed about the short because a lot of people are already over the whole Frozen thing. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the short was really not short.
Yeah.
It was actually like 20-something minutes
long.
Well,
let's face it. The short itself, don't be shocked if in a year or so you actually see the short as a Christmas special on like on ABC or one of the channels that ABC owns, because think about it, it was about 22 minutes long. I don't know if that's the exact length, but it was right about
with commercials. It'll be the perfect half an hour.
You add commercials, it's going to be the perfect half an hour for a ABC Frozen special.
I understand why some people are complaining about it. I personally enjoyed the short, but then again, I am a huge Frozen fan.
And I enjoyed it too. I mean, I'm not the biggest Frozen fan in the world. I love Frozen. I think it's a good movie, but I'm like most of the rest of the world where I'm kind of over Frozen. But in a sense, I really did enjoy the short because you had new songs, you had a new story, and you still love Anna and Elsa. So, I mean,
yeah, but I do agree that it was too long. The film...
I thought it was
well, between the short and the trailers, the movie itself doesn't start till 40 minutes.
Yeah.
After, you know, what the start time is supposed
to
be.
Yeah, I can get why parents were upset about it. Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about Coco.
Yep.
Coco was stunning. It was beautiful. The story was amazing. Typical Pixar film, it's going to make you feel the feels.
Yep, and the music was actually really good. Even though we're not Mexican, we're both of Spanish heritage, Rita's Cuban. My family has Cuban and all kinds of different Spanish in our family, so we grew up in that type of culture. And even though, like I said, we're not Mexican, there are a lot of similarities to Mexican culture to our heritage, right?
So we found the film very, very relatable.
Yeah,
and
for us, it was very relatable. And of course, the abuela throwing the shoe. I've experienced that, you know.
The chancleta.
Yes, I've experienced that personally. So that does happen, folks. Yes, it does.
It really was a beautiful film that showcases that, you know, at the end of the day, we do all pass on, but we're never forgotten.
Right. As long as there's somebody around to remember you, you're not forgotten.
Exactly.
And so I thought the concept was kind of interesting where, you know, obviously on the Day of the Dead, you can come back and visit your family as long as there's somebody there that still remembers you. But once everybody that remembers you has passed on, then
you disappear.
You disappear and go into the ether or whatever.
Yeah, even in the film, that, you know, they said, we don't know, you know, where they go. They just go somewhere.
Yeah, they call it the final death. And so that I thought that concept was a little morbid for kids, but
yeah, I found that kind of creepy.
But at the same time, I get it, you know, because if there's nobody left to remember you and you're not like a historical figure or anything, then, you know, guess what? You're probably not going to, I mean, you'll just kind of fade into the distance and Nobody will really remember you.
So again, if you haven't had a chance to see Coco, watch it, because it is really worth the money to go see it. And heck, I saw it twice.
All right, so do you want to give a rating on Coco?
Oh, yeah, I'm giving it 10.
Yeah, 10 for me too. I mean, it was a fantastic film.
All right, let's move on to Fantastic Beasts. The newest film is called Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald. Now, we don't have an official trailer on this yet.
And the release date isn't even until November of next year.
But there has been a lot of controversy going on with this film right now because of Johnny Depp. Now, for those who, you know, don't go to the internet too much, there's been a lot going on with Johnny Depp, with his ex-wife accusing him of abuse. And there's been a lot of, he said, she said, and a lot of hearsay.
Let's mention about J.K. Rowling, where J.K. Rowling was getting a lot of heat from her fans in regards to, you know, not putting her foot down and forcing the Warner Brothers to can Johnny Depp as the main character.
Well, here's the thing. There have been statements made by Johnny Depp and by his ex-wife.
Well, actually, court statements where they both say that no physical harm has ever happened between them, and that no physical or mental abuse had taken place.
Yeah, even
that
though they did also state in the court documents that their relationship was
volatile,
yet passionate and done in love.
Yeah.
So at the end of this day, all of this is accusations,
mm-hmm.
and allegations. Nothing is concrete. There's no proof that any of this ever happened now.
And legally, they both have agreed that nothing really happened.
So at the end of the day, I can understand why Johnny Depp is getting slack. But if it's all just conjecture and it's all just accusations and allegations, you can't attack this man just for that. But as you mentioned, J.K. Rowling has also been getting a lot of flack over this. For example, one of her fans had sent her a very, very criticizing tweet, and instead of J.K. Rowling responding to it, she went ahead and blocked this particular person. And the fan, you know, started this whole, you know, thing about how she got blocked by J.K. Rowling and disappointed. I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, if J.K. Rowling blocks you, so what? Maybe you shouldn't have, because the tweet itself was not only very criticizing, but it was an attack on J.K. Rowling. If she chooses to block you,
that's
her prerogative, and that's her business.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to allow people just to attack her.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling is a very vocal person, especially on Twitter. Now, if she chooses to block you, it's because she didn't feel like, you know, taking crap from a fan.
Yep, and so J.K. Rowling and Warner Brothers have both released statements on the Johnny Depp situation. J.K. Rowling basically said that, you know, she was deeply concerned when she heard the allegations, but after reviewing it with Warner Brothers and their director David Yates, that they feel that Johnny is still the best person for the job and that he has been not necessarily exonerated, but everything has been resolved to the satisfaction of where Warner Brothers believes that he can still be the main lead.
Here's the problem that I have with the Harry Potter fans right now. They're all talking about boycotting the film because Johnny Depp's in it. He hasn't been accused of anything.
Well, he has.
Well, accused, but nothing's been...
He's not been convicted of anything.
He hasn't been convicted of anything. So, at the end of the day, if you want to boycott a Wizarding World film, you know what? That's your problem. You probably won't be missed in the theater, because the movie's still going to make a ton of money. Johnny Depp may not be the greatest person in the world, but he is still a very talented actor.
And I think a lot of this is overreaction in regards to what the climate is in Hollywood now, right now. If you really think about it, there, all the sexual harassment allegations and everything that's going down, look at it, it brought down Kevin Spacey, it brought down that Brett Ratner guy. And I'm not saying that it's not right that those guys have been brought down, because they basically committed crimes and they deserve to be brought down. But I think the fervor, the witch hunt of, oh, let's get the next guy, has kind of hit Johnny Depp to where I think he's been not necessarily unfairly criticized, because it's serious allegations, but there are also allegations against her as well. You know, to where she likes to fabricate stuff, and that she's also one of these people that was abusive to him as well.
Yeah, and this is why every single time I keep seeing some of my Harry Potter Facebook friends saying, oh, I'm so disappointed in J.K. Rowling. Why? Because she chose to, you know, go ahead and continue with Johnny Depp. So what?
And not only that, in the end, you know, Johnny Depp's situation with his wife
is his business.
Exactly.
People.
Exactly. And so it's not your job to punish Johnny Depp for what happened between him and his wife. That's between him and his wife.
Yes.
And the law. And if the law says that nothing happened and that they have parted ways and they're moving on with their lives, so should everybody else. It's none of your business.
Exactly. So, to me, everybody that goes out there and say, oh, I'm disappointed with J.K. Rowling. Oh, I don't like J.K. Rowling anymore. I think you're not a true Harry Potter fan anymore. I really don't. That's how strongly I feel about that. I still support J.K. Rowling 100%.
Yep. So, again, Fantastic Beasts and the Crimes of Grindelwald comes out November.
Yep.
Of 2018.
And that does it for our rapid fire.
It wasn't very rapid this time around.
Nah, there was just a lot to talk about.
Yep. So coming up next, our Christmas movie preview.
Woohoo!
ESO. 7 years of keeping it really geeky.
Hey! What are you trying to do? You ruined my record, man! I just bought it!
Hey, you guys!
How exciting! Spoilers!
Come! It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Think it'll work?
It would take a miracle.
Bye-bye!
The Earth Station 1 Podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
We'll be right back.
right, folks.
Now we're going to talk about the Christmas movie preview, or the holiday movie preview, if you want to be PC about it, I guess. But, you know, I don't have a problem saying Christmas movies, because this is all coming out around Christmas.
Yep. All right. So first and most important on the list, Star Wars The Last Jedi, coming out December 15th.
Yep. I mean, it's Star Wars. You know, it's The Last Jedi. We're going to find out. Luke is actually going to speak in this movie. We know that for a fact.
This film is going to be so bittersweet because we're going to be seeing Carrie Fisher in this.
Yep.
So I know that alone is going to make me cry.
Yeah, and I think they're going to find a way to write out Princess Leia without actually seeing, you know, her death. So it's going to be interesting. I'm intrigued to see what the storyline is going to be. I think there's going to be some of the original extended universe stuff brought in to this film.
Now, for a long time, you know, you had the theory that Luke was probably going to die.
I still think that.
But you also have another theory that he may go Sith.
I don't think he's going to go full Sith. What I do think is that there's a concept in the extended universe, in the original extended universe, about, you know, there's not just a light and a dark, there's a gray. And the gray is a little bit dark side and a little bit light side. And I think that the whole Last Jedi, that the whole thing that Luke's saying about the Jedi being dead, I think he's starting a different order, but in the gray. And I think that's probably where it's going to go. And that's how he's going to train Rey to beat Snoke and Kylo Ren.
I'm so ready to watch this film right now, but at the same time, I don't know if I am.
Well, we do know that our friend Debbie, who is a huge Mark Hamill fan, absolutely loves Mark Hamill, has basically warned us if Luke dies in this film, she's walking out.
Yeah, so we're already making preparations, taking an extra car, maybe taking keys away from her. But
I don't know if we want to take the keys away from her, because then nobody else in a theater is going to be safe.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's going to be coming out very soon, December 15th.
Yep.
Is this also 15th?
Yes.
Okay. All right, next up is going to be a computer animated film called Ferdinand with a Bull.
Yep. It looks cute. It looks interesting.
It does look funny, but I'm not sure.
The problem is it comes out the same weekend as Star Wars, so
yeah.
Ain't nobody going to go see this movie.
I think Ferdinand's going to bomb, personally.
I mean, why would you pick the same weekend as Star Wars?
Right? Now, Ferdinand is voiced by John Cena, of all people.
Yes. The famous wrestler from the WWE.
So we've seen the trailers for it. It looks cute. It looks funny. But I have a feeling we're probably never going to make it to the theater to watch it. All right. Next up is a new Hugh Jackman film. The Greatest Showman is a film about the birth and the creation of...
The circus.
Of the circus.
And P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. Exactly. Of P.T. Barnum. Which is interesting that they're making a film about this, considering the flack that they've been getting the last couple years about animal abuse.
Right.
That circus isn't even going to be around for too much longer.
Nope. I mean, basically the circus is going extinct because of, you know, the mistreatment of animals. And, you know, rightly so. I mean, I loved the circus when I was a kid, except for the whole clown thing. But, you know, other than clowns, I did like going to see the circus and whatnot. But, you know, seeing how they treated the animals is disturbing. And I do believe that these animals deserve to be free.
See, now, here's where I don't think the circus is going to be completely going away. I think the circus just needs to evolve. I mean, look, for example, Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil doesn't use animals. It's all very visual.
Yeah, but that's not really a circus to me. I mean, that's more of a show.
That is true. Like, for example, you had the Beatles' Love version of Cirque du Soleil over in Vegas. I just think the circus is going to evolve into something different.
Yeah, that's true. But going back to the movie.
All right, so back to the movie. It starts December 20th, a week after Star Wars. So at least they're smart enough not to start the same week of Star Wars.
Yep.
So they do have a decent chance. The trailer looked interesting. I may want to go watch that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Coming up next, Downsizing, starting December 22nd. This looks like a hilarious movie. I might want to go see this one.
It seems interesting. I mean, it's got Matt Damon, who's obviously a great actor. And it just, it's an interesting concept. It's almost like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but in a corporate version of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So essentially the premise behind this film is you get to be miniaturized and live in a community of miniature people.
And if you had like $12,000 in miniature world or whatever they call it.
It equates to $12 million.
Yes.
So by downsizing, you become instantly rich.
And live a life of luxury.
Now, the catch is that once you actually do the downsizing process, you cannot go back.
Right.
It's a one-way deal. So the whole point of the story is you have a couple, married couple that decides to downsize, but then the woman backs out at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
And now Matt Damon's character is all by his lonesome,
yep,
in a miniature world, trying to discover all of this that's completely new to him now.
Exactly.
Either way, it looks hilarious. All right, December 22nd, also the same weekend downsizing's coming out, is Crooked House.
So this is another Agatha Christie. Now, is this a Poirot movie, or is this...
No, it is not a Poirot movie.
Okay.
But it is an Agatha Christie story. And this is another murder mystery, but it looks really dark, really twisted.
Hmm.
In fact, the catchphrase for the movie is Agatha Christie's most twisted tale.
Hmm.
So it should be really interesting. The woman who plays M in the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
She is the...
Judy Dench. Yeah.
Yes, Judy Dench. She is the matriarch in this film. Either way, the movie looks really creepy, and it's definitely one I'm going to want to check out.
Yep.
All right, so last on our Christmas preview list is Jumanji.
Welcome to the jungle, yes.
Now, we got to do the Amazon Prime special event preview.
We also definitely want to thank Amazon for doing this. I don't think it's something that they've ever done, at least not that I know of.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing event. It was... It was interesting. It was almost like going to a sneak preview kind of thing. You had to follow sneak preview rules, you know, where you couldn't be on your phone. And if you were on your phone, they were going to walk you out kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean,
well, it's not like a sneak preview. It was a sneak preview.
Yeah, basically.
So we're not going to give spoilers.
No, we don't have to put a spoiler warning on this because we are giving absolutely no spoilers for this movie because we know nobody's other than the Amazon Prime members have seen this.
All I'm going to tell you is not only were we laughing from beginning to end, but this film was better than the original, folks.
I haven't laughed that much in a movie in a long, long time. It was hilarious. The action scenes were well done. I thought the story made sense. It moved well. And I thought Karen Gillan, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Kevin Hart...
Jack Black
were all fantastic.
All four of them had such amazing chemistry on screen. It was phenomenal.
There were so many funny things that Jack Black did, being a woman in a man's body kind of thing. And, you know, it was so, so funny. Yeah.
And even The Rock. Oh, my God.
And I like how they did do some homages and tied it back to the original film, almost picking it up where the original film left off. So I thought there was a good connection there to the original while taking it in its own direction, and I thought the new direction was fantastic.
I do agree. I hope they will do more films for this franchise in the future. But even if they didn't, it's okay too.
Yeah, and this one for us folks is an instant buy. We will get the digital copy.
I'm giving it a 10.
We will give it a... we will get the Blu-ray. It'll be in our house, and we'll probably wear out that Blu-ray because this is a movie you can watch over and over and over again. It's an absolute 10. Absolutely. Absolute
now,
10.
This one starts December 20th, a week after the Star Wars film, thankfully.
Yep. Go see this one. If you're going to see one movie other than Star Wars this month...
Go see Jumanji.
Jumanji is the one because you will not be disappointed with this film.
All right, and that does it for our holiday Christmas preview.
Yep, coming up next, we're going to talk Doctor Who Christmas special. It's coming, folks. It's only a couple weeks away. Wow.
Okay, auditions for the new Earth Station Who co-host. Take one. Go ahead.
Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandora Cup? Takes the universe. But, bad news, everyone. Cause guess who? Ha. Listen, you lot are all whizzing about. It's really very distracting. Could you all just stay still a minute because I am talking?
Not too shabby. Can you close this up?
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating over 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. You never know where the TARDIS is going to go next. Earth Station Who podcast can be found at www.earthstationwho.com. Earth Station Who is a proud member of the ESO network. We are up on Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace and we are done. Did I pass the audition?
We'll get back to you. Next!
Hello, this is Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks, and you're listening to Transmissions from Atlantis. And I urge you to listen, or you will be exterminated!
No! No! When I say no, you turn back around! Hey! I'm going to be dead in a few hours, so before I go, let's have this out, you and me, once and for all. Winning? Is that what you think it's about? I'm not trying to win. I'm not doing this because I want to beat someone, or because I hate someone, or because I want to blame someone. It's not because it's fun. God knows it's not because it's easy. It's not even because it works, because it hardly ever does. I do what I do because it's right! Because it's decent! And above all, it's kind! It's just that! Just kind. If I run away today, good people will die. If I stand and fight, some of them might live, maybe not many, maybe not for long. Hey, you know, maybe there's no point in any of this at all, but it's the best I can do. So I'm going to do it, and I will stand here doing it till it kills me. You're going to die too. Someday. How would that be? Have you thought about it? What would you die for? Who I am. It's where I stand, where I stand. Where I fall. Stand with me. These people are terrified. Maybe we can help. A little. Why not? Just to the end. Just be kind.
All right, folks, you know that music. And it's time for our Doctor Who segment. And, of course, we have new Who in a couple weeks.
Yep, and we already got 2 minutes of new Who with the Children in Need special.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick.
All right, so we have Peter Capaldi, we've got Mark Gatiss, and we have David Bradley in the new Children of Need special. And, man, I love David Bradley as the first Doctor. I mean, they honestly could not have picked anybody better to take on that role.
Yeah, he does a very, very good job as the first Doctor. And he's so believable as the first Doctor. And I just love the premise of, you know, this Doctor meeting that Doctor. And, of course, that whole interaction where they're talking about the regenerations, and the first doctor is like, well, I thought I was going to get younger. And then Capaldi's doctor is like, I am younger!
I think my favorite bit on the Children of Need special is when Capaldi looks at the Mark Gatiss character and he's like, oh, I see you're from World War One. And he's like, what do you mean, one?
Yeah.
For them, it's just a great war.
Yeah, it's the Great War, exactly. They don't know there's going to be another one.
And Capaldi was like, spoilers!
Right. So, I mean, I thought the Children of Need episode was well done. The whole thing where the first doctor goes into the TARDIS and he's like, have I been burgled? It's funny.
Yeah, he didn't like it.
Yeah. As they never do, right?
They never like each other.
They like their desktop. They like their desktop and nobody else's desktop, for sure.
If you think about it, Tennant's desktop was pretty grungy.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the Christmas special trailer.
Yes. So it gave us a little bit more of a look of what's coming on Christmas. And, oh, by the way, the Christmas special is going to be at 12:30 our time, because I think it's going to be, 5:30 London time.
Yep, so instead of being, like, later in the evening like it usually is, it's going to be earlier.
Yes, so definitely set your clocks if you have the ability to watch on iPlayer. It's going to be 12:30 Eastern time in the United States. I'm not sure if it's going to be shown live on BBC America.
Not at the same time, I think.
I think they're going to save it for that evening. I haven't heard exactly what...
And actually, isn't the Christmas special also releasing, have a limited release in some theaters?
Yes, but I think that's a few days later.
Oh, okay,
it's not the same day.
So let's talk about the trailer. You have two doctors. You got Peter Capaldi, you got the first doctor, and this is just going to be so cool.
And the whole concept is going to be interesting because... the first doctor is about to experience his first regeneration. This is the whole setup of going into the 10th planet, the first ever regeneration episode in Doctor Who. And the 12th doctor doesn't want to regenerate. So I think the whole story is going to be why regeneration is such an important thing and why the 12th doctor needs to take advantage of it.
Yes. The story appears to take place during World War One. It looks like something's going to go wrong with time. Time is going to be locked, and they're going to have to, you know, figure out what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the same time, it looks like we're going to also have some characters coming back. Towards the end of the trailer, we see Bill, Pearl Mackey's character, coming back. Last we saw Bill, she was... going off into space with the other chick as, you know, part of, you know, I guess, because she had
the
kind
water
of evolved.
Thing. Yeah, the water creature thing or whatever it was.
Yeah, where they were kind of stardust type of thing.
Yeah.
But still alive, but not quite. So Bill is definitely going to be coming back in some capacity. And I love the fact that Mark Gatiss is going to be in this.
Yep.
We've seen Mark Gatiss several times already in the Doctor Who world. He was in the Lazarus episode with David mm-hmm. Tennant.
Now, that one I didn't care for that much.
I did not, but where Mark Gatiss has been more involved in regards to Doctor Who is writing. He's written a lot of the most brilliant episodes in Doctor Who. He is also part... of the Sherlock series.
Mm-hmm.
If you've watched Sherlock, he plays Sherlock's brother.
Sherlock's brother, Mycroft.
Mycroft, yep. Exactly. Not to mention, he's also a writer for Sherlock as well.
Yeah, well, he's...
And a producer.
I think he's one of the lead writers, right? He's the lead writer with Moffat, right?
Yeah, he is. So if you haven't heard of Mark Gatiss, then you're probably living under
a
rock.
Yeah, you're just not paying attention to Doctor Who. And I am hopeful that Gatiss will get the opportunity to write with
Chibnall?
With Chibnall at some point. I don't know if he's going to be included. I thought I saw something about him being included for next season, but I'm not sure. If not, I do hope that Chibnall does bring him back because, I mean, granted, some of his episodes haven't been the best episodes. You know, would you like some tea?
True, but then some of his other episodes have been very brilliant.
Exactly.
Now, this is Moffat's last episode, isn't it?
It is.
This is his last hurrah.
And there's also a rumor that this could have a very big reveal. And so I'm going to put a spoilers warning here.
Spoilers.
And the big rumor that we have is that we may be seeing the return of the Valyard in this particular episode. And the reason why people are thinking that is because Mark Gatiss' character is named Everlady, which is a very, very easy anagram for Valyard.
Interesting.
If you just transpose the letters around a little bit, you get the Valyard.
Now, for those of you who may not be too into the classic Doctor Who, the Valyard is a character who's a Time Lord.
Who is the Doctor.
Who is the Doctor. Yep. The Valyard is one of the Doctor's regenerations.
In fact, what he's called is the regeneration between the 11th and final regeneration. So he's not the War Doctor, right?
Yes.
But what he is some kind of weird offshoot of the Doctor.
Who is not very nice.
No. Colin Baker's Doctor, his last series was basically a series about the Valyard, to where he was put on trial, and the Valyard was the prosecutor. And so they're trying to basically end the Doctor, right? Before his time streams are over. Before his regenerations are over. They're trying to put the case that he doesn't deserve to regenerate anymore. They want to take his regenerations away. And the whole thing about it is the Valyard obviously is evil and tries to destroy the Doctor. And eventually, of course, you know, the Doctor wins and the Valyard's defeated. But everybody's always been waiting for the Valyard's return.
Yeah, because the Valyard is the Doctor. Because
it's got to happen, right? Or else that whole Six Doctor series never happens. So, and it's supposed to be happening right around now. And there was a lot of people that wondered if Capaldi's Doctor was going to be the Valyard. But that would be a terrible ending for Capaldi's Doctor. So nobody wants that.
Nope.
So this is the perfect opportunity, the very last episode.
Maybe there's a reason why he is not so keen to regenerate this time around. Maybe he knows it's coming.
Could be.
Maybe he senses that the Valyard is on his way.
Could be.
Because, you know, there have been times where you know, he feels the regeneration's coming. Like, for example, when Fourth went into Fifth, you know, there was those visions of the person in white.
Right.
You know, sometimes he senses when these regenerations are coming.
Yep.
Maybe he feels this.
Yep. And not only that, if you remember back to the Matt Smith episode, The Name of the Doctor, the Great Intelligence actually mentions the Valyard.
That's right.
So the Valyard has been brought back into New Who mythology. So he is a thing. So it would make total sense that before Capaldi leaves, that the Valyard is introduced. So it'll be interesting to see if that's how it really goes, but it's a heck of a coincidence that Everlady is an anagram for the Valyard.
Yep. Well, we'll have to see how that comes out. All right, so I think that does it for our Doctor Who segment.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Transmissions from Atlantis. We would like to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, for those of you that aren't of the Christian faith. Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all the other ones. Whatever you're celebrating, I hope it's with family. And we wish you a very, very happy holiday. And, of course, coming up for our next episode, which will be after the holiday, we will be obviously talking the Doctor Who Christmas special. We will be reviewing it. We will talk about the debut of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
We'll also be talking The Last Jedi, and we'll actually be able to fully review Jumanji by then.
In addition to all that, we actually have a new trailer for Seekers of the Lost Worlds out. You'll be able to see it connected to our post for this particular episode. It is called the Silver Trailer because Seekers of the Lost World is actually going to be filmed mostly in black and white. While we'll have some splashes of color in the film, it'll basically be a black and white 1930s style serial movie. So definitely check that out because it's going to be very, very cool. Update on Seekers of the Lost World. We are finished with the post-production. And we are starting to put the final touches on the screener, and we will be soliciting film festivals and places to actually screen the film very, very soon. For more information on that, check out seekersofthelostworlds.tv or our Facebook page, The Digger Bar. So, and of course, I'm sure we'll be seeing some other movies before that as well, because
there's a lot of stuff this month.
We gave you a big list of movies, and I'm sure we're going to see a couple of them. So, until then.
Allons-y.
Allons-y. Goodbye, everybody.
Allons-y. I should say allons-y more often. Allons-y. Look sharp, Rose Tyler. Allons-y. And then, it'd be really brilliant if I met someone called Alonzo, because then I could say allons-y, Alonzo, every time.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad, feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad, próspero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.